gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey. I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me. You got a green light, baby. Maybe, baby, you will see.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It is time for the American Adversaries. That means it's drive time, prime time. And thank you for being with us. I am Christopher Hart, and we're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. 407-774-8255 is the number. Got the chairman of the board here on the field with me today.
That's exactly. You know, Chris, I was going to mention earlier about our friends, the Predators.
Yeah. Well,
did you see in the paper? They lost Monday night in Arizona to the Rattlers, who had a very similar record. But the coach was smart enough, with about 5-6 seconds left, he kicked a field goal where they only lost by 17 points, right?
Right.
But what happened, the Predators had beat the same team by 18 back about a month ago.
Okay.
So now they're going to go into the playoffs. I think they have one more game, not this weekend. It's a bye week. But next weekend they play in Orlando. They actually play the Philadelphia Soul. You know, that's used to be Bon Jovi's team.
Right.
And they're actually very good. But if they win that and Arizona wins, the Predators get all their playoffs in Orlando. And, but look at this. This will be their 250th win, I think, if they win coming up next week.
Wow.
And it's a case that...
In 25 years,
yeah,
that's not bad
average. And this will be their third title in a row. And if they win this game, they will beat the Predators' all-time record of 12 wins in a season. So, I mean, this is for Coach Keith, who I believe could be one of the great potential college coaches. I think the kid's only like, I call him a kid, he's like 34 years old. And I never saw a guy get so fired up. It's worth going to the game just to watch how this guy reacts.
He's intense.
He's great. But it's nice to see that. But we finally got a team that's winning, right?
But, you know, he's a great motivator.
He is.
And he's also got a good, sharp eye for talent.
Right. And that's because, you know, when you're playing arena ball, you're scraping off the bottom. You're looking for where am I going to find talent. And there's some very good players. I don't mean to sound like they're all terrible. Many of them have gone back into the NFL.
Right.
But he just seems to be able to mold them and find them. But the most important position is quarterback. And we've been fortunate. Our first quarterback, unfortunately, got hurt a few weeks ago. But the second one, you know, seems to have filled in very adequately.
Yeah, the kid from here, Bernard.
That's exactly right. Bernard, right?
Yeah. So it kind of sounds a bit like government in the sense that you said you're kind of scraping the bottom.
Well, that part might relate to the government, but not the team. And we got a good team.
Don Jr. last night kind of described Don Sr. in similar terms, in the sense that he's a great motivator. He gets, and Tiffany said this too, that he gets more out of you than even you know is in you. That's what he does with people. He finds people. He brings out their very best talents and enables them to lift themselves to higher degrees of success.
And I think that's a message America needs virtually every day. And, I mean, I know in raising kids and everything, I was always one. You know, the only person who can stop you is you yourself. And I mean that in the sense that, hey, you all have opportunities out there. There's many roads you can go. You got to learn to give 100%. I used to always say, and I did very well in the business I was in, but this sounds funny, but I never went out to lunch. Why? And I said, two things go wrong when you go out to lunch. You either get fat or I could lose making money. So, you know, I wanted to make money. It worked out well. But the reason was very simple. I'm going to give 100%. If I do something, we go 100%. And that's what I think Trump has taught those kids. So impressed with everyone that I have observed, you know, in these speeches. I'm just, and that young lady last night, Chris, you'll agree with me. Oh,
Tiffany.
For what is she, 22, 23 years old?
Makes me wish I was 22 or 23 years old again, doesn't it?
I know. I mean,
yeah, but I tell you what, she is sharp. She's delightful. And I thought it was just a great speech by her, given that she is just 20, 23 years old. And it begins the process of putting a baby face on Papa Trump, right? And those are great qualities. And Don Jr. Echoed them in his speech. It was sort of a different style and everything, but he echoed the same thing. And that is that Trump, he works with real people, and he enables them to do more with what they have in their own lives. And that's pretty cool. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, I liken politics to professional wrestling, but being president is a lot like being a head coach.
Exactly. You got to motivate all those who work around you.
And you got to find the best talent and put them in the right place on the squad, right?
Right. If you have great talent.
That's what the best coaches do. Some of the best coaches never even played or didn't play much, but they know how to organize. They know how to see talent, and they know how to motivate.
I mean, look at our fellow for the Patriots, right? Why do they always win? That guy is a motivator, and as a guy is a talent observer. Because, you know, all the players that come into the Patriots, they're not the best guys. A lot of them are free agents. Look what he does. Some people have that special talent. And I do believe that's why I'm a Trumpican. I believe Trump will recognize the best for all the different positions. And the more I observe this convention and the more I watch his children, you've convinced me even more.
All right. And, Nick, I know that must have pained Mike to say that about the Patriots there.
Just a little bit.
I know, but I have to give, recognition to those.
All right. Don't go away, Nick. By the way, Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number because we are live. Brad, hang there. We'll get to your phone call. But first, we do have a poll question up tonight. And if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart mobile device, you can participate in the poll question, which Nick is about to reveal to us.
Yeah, we're asking you today, how would you rate the Republican convention so far? We have three choices for you. Great show so far. Middle of the road. Or the third choice, about as boring as Hillary's pantsuits.
That's a tempting answer just to get Hillary on the hook. But I love it. I think it's a great show.
All right, let's see. Okay, thank you, Nick. We appreciate it. And Nick will give us an update later on in the show about what you think, and then we'll have the final tally before we go off the air tonight. And once again, I'd like to remind you, actually, the Rays, I believe, are playing right now, but you're listening to us because of live convention coverage. Those ball games today and then again tomorrow, you'll find up the dial at our sister station, 1520 WBZW. So the Rays are playing there right now. So if you tuned in to find the Rays and you're real disappointed about us, well, I'm sorry. I wish you'd not be disappointed and stick around.
Well, we've gotten as many hits as they have today.
I was just going to say, we'll be a lot more excited, maybe. But anyway,
we'll make less errors, too, Chris.
On 1520, and they'll be up there again tomorrow night when they play. They may actually be off tomorrow night. But anyway, at any rate, that's what's going on with the Rays. And let's go to Brad. Brad has been holding. It looks like he wants to talk about one of the speakers last night.
Now, hey, guys.
I don't know what part you want to talk about, but go ahead. I'll let you talk about it.
Well, two great observations here. First of all, Dr. Ben Carson is being made fun of online, but actually that just goes to show you how brain dead these left-wing lunatic liberals are.
Ignorant.
He correctly pointed out that one of Hillary Clinton's great role models and heroes, the creepy, mentally disturbed Saul Alinsky, referenced Lucifer, gave Lucifer credit in one of his radical books.
Yeah,
so Dr. Carson did was point that out.
Yeah, it's in the introduction, but the credit. The dedication of the book, you know, I dedicate this book. He dedicates the book to Lucifer, and it's the rules for radicals. And it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but he's doing it because that's an example of using his technique, let's just put it that way. So Ben Carson was absolutely correct to do it. And, you got a bunch of ignorant morons out there who don't know any better.
And he said that Lucifer, actually, the reason he did this was a great organizer.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that. Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Brad.
And the second observation, of course, is this big plagiarism scandal. However, the mainstream media spent almost no time on the six different speeches where Barack Obama had clear examples of plagiarism and a humdinger by Joe Biden as well. And these guys are supposedly educated men. So you're talking about a wonderful, beautiful lady, an immigrant who came over here and felt those words. So even though it was plagiarized, and no one's doubting that, the mainstream media will cover this ad nauseum but ignore the plagiarism in a Harvard-educated man like Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And that I find extremely hypocritical.
Just a couple of things. The Joe Biden thing, he actually had to drop out of race for president in, I think it was the year when Obama first ran, because he plagiarized, or it was discovered that he had plagiarized, a speech given by a British prime minister. And it was pretty much word for word. In terms of the media, Tom Brokaw broke the bad news to them this morning. And it was news that actually Mike McBath and I, but mostly Mike, broke on our show last night. And that is that most of the people don't give a hoot. Now, in terms of Melania Trump, now the story came out today that the woman who helped Melania write the speech, and what Melania had done, and this I credit her for, she went back and read other first lady speeches, and one of them was Michelle Obama's, and it was a speech that got great reviews. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody recommended, go back, and she's never done this before, okay? The woman's never even been close to being in politics, right? Not like Michelle Obama, who kind of knew her way around. Hillary Clinton, who knows her way around. So you go back and you look and you see who did it before and who did a good job and what did they do. And so what Melania did, she was communicating evidently by phone with the woman who was writing the actual text and said, I saw this and I like it. Can you put something like this in my speech? And basically the woman just took it down verbatim, not knowing exactly where Melania had gotten it. So it was a miscommunication. It wound up in the speech. It's not up to a speechwriter to look and I guess she could have Googled it, but are you going to take every line? You could do this ad infinitum. And so the speech was written. The woman who wrote the speech offered to resign. Donald Trump would not accept her resignation. And it's because she's a longtime family friend. She has co-written and ghostwritten some bike books with him and the family. And he's not going to throw her under the bus for an honest mistake.
Chris, don't you wonder, too, the lady speaks five languages, right?
Melania.
Right. So a lot of times you misinterpret what words mean.
It
and
could
I wonder
that.
If she honestly even knew what plagiarism was. And I say that.
No, I believe that Melania knew.
She might have known.
Yeah.
But I mean, the reality of it is, here is the media. How many of them can speak two languages?
And like Brad said, if you want to go back, you can find this stuff.
On.
These are, and like I said last night, they don't own these concepts.
Right.
See, this is what the Democrats do. They're trying to lay claim to the concept.
Right.
Not necessarily exactly the way it was said, but the concept. Oh, it is their concept that your word is your bond. I used to hear that on old Western TV shows. So should they sue the Obamas? And oh, by the way, as I said yesterday, or at least I intimated, they went back and found where Elizabeth Dole in 1996 said very remarkably similar things herself. This is what the liberals do. We've talked about this on the show before. They try to lay claim to words. They try to put their definition on words. They try to lay claim to phrases. They try to take and control the language. And as long as we allow them to do it, they're going to keep doing it. You see? The argument here is, first and foremost, the people don't care, like Tom Brokaw
right.
said.
I think that's the best part of it.
What they're more interested in is jobs and security.
Right?
First and foremost, and why shouldn't they be? And second, they don't own the concept of your word being your bond and having big dreams and working hard.
And then, you know, Chris, third is the fact that this issue is a compliment to how well this whole convention is going. Because this has been a wonderful way for the public to educate themselves again on what a scoundrel, you know, Hillary is. So if this is all they can extract, right, Boy, you guys got a rough road ahead of you, I can tell you that.
Here's why the Democrats are in big trouble with this convention, and they're trying to tear it down. They're trying to say it's disorganized, you got problems in the family, all this. Here's the problem, is this convention is demonstrating to the United States of America that the Trump family is just like the family down the street. Just like the family next door. Now, they may live in some high-priced digs up yonder to New York. But really, when you think about it, they're just like us. Or they are like we would like to be.
I mean, they are high-valued people. I mean, I'm so impressed with all
because of their work ethic.
Right.
And their patriotism and their love of God, family, and country. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some contest rules, and we're going to continue to talk about the convention. If you have any thoughts, please call us at 407-774-8255. And how would you rate the convention? If you have that app, please get in on that poll question.
A man walks down the street. He says, why am I soft?
Is Donald Trump coming in?
Are we allowed to play this?
Trump can't.
I know. This is great. I hope they play that again tomorrow night. You know what I mean? It just gets you pumped up. And I promise that speech tomorrow night is just going to be awesome.
I think so. And I think the intro is going to be awesome again, too. I've heard some people saying, he blew it Monday night by coming in with that awesome entrance. Now, how's he going to top that Thursday night?
Oh, he'll come up with something much bigger.
Yeah, don't you ever watch the WWE? Yeah. He might come swinging in from a rope, for heaven's sakes. You never know.
Maybe fly his helicopter in, land, jump out. Who knows?
That's right. There'll be some grand entrance.
It'll be great.
Indeed, it
will
be. Let's
make America great again, right?
Amen. Amen. 407-774-8255 is the number. JJ is on the line. JJ, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, good, guys. I couldn't agree with you more about that whole kerfuffle thing with the even Melania Trump speech. Those are general concepts that a lot of wives of politicians and parents, just decent parents, teach their kids.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So it was kind of overblown and, like they own the words or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And see, we should be, I'm not going to say what I did, but let's just put it this way. That should be the tack we should be taking in this whole little, as you put it, kerfuffle. Because
she could have said, I do believe in those concepts, and that's what I want to teach my son. And
right.
She could also say, hey, great minds think along similar channels. Get over it.
Exactly.
In college commencements, I wonder how many times that was stated. College commencements.
Exactly.
Right. Come on.
See, what we have to understand is what they're doing. They're trying to kill two birds with one stone here. They're trying to obviously knock Trump down, but they're also trying to lay claim to those concepts.
Right.
They're trying to put the fear in the next politician to say anything remotely like that. Oh, there he goes talking like Michelle Obama, too. Yeah,
well,
give me a break.
They have to cast dispersions and tear her down because... You know, they don't want to talk about the other things like what, Chris Christie. I mean, I was hysterical laughing at people in the audience saying, lock her
that
up.
That was just absolutely great. I know, that was absolutely great.
I know, and you got all the liberal media out there going, oh, they went over the line. That was too much. America's not going to like that. Oh, yeah.
America's not going to like her getting, nobody likes, most people don't, reasonable people. People with any morals don't like her being above the law.
And 65% in two different polls of the American public think the woman should have been indicted. So
what
are they saying?
So
they're saying, lock her up.
There's one other question.
So great.
Yeah.
JJ, I got a question. How much do you think Melania sold her dress for?
How much did she sell her
dress?
Did you see
she sold the dress after the speech?
Really?
In all seriousness, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times they do that and they give the money
to
charity.
Can you imagine when Hillary gets done her speech, what her pantsuit's going to sell for? $3-4?
You know what kills me? What she keeps saying, she says, I've heard her say this now several times. I'm the ultimate outsider. I'm trying to say she's an outsider because she's a woman now.
That should be
like
an
So she doesn't want to say she has experience. She wants everything both ways.
That should be an insult to all women, especially.
She's the biggest phony and now liar.
You're right. Especially to the true feminist. That should be just appalling to the true feminist. But, of course, because it's Hillary, she'll get away with it. All right. Hey,
yeah,
thank you, JJ.
Anyway.
All right. Glad you're watching the convention.
Chris, do you think JJ is going to be meeting her downtown tomorrow when she comes to Orlando? I don't think.
You mean Friday?
Yeah, Friday. I don't think she'll be in the parade.
Yes, Hillary will be coming to town Friday. I predict there's rumors, and it sounds like it would be the right timing. She is going to announce her VP pick Friday. At least I would do it if I were her. Try to steal some of the attention away from the Republican convention. Try to do that immediately.
And she'll tie it in probably to the unfortunate situation I had here at the polls. Who knows?
She may.
You know,
she'll be here
she'll
Friday.
Do anything.
She's going to hit Tampa Friday night, and then Saturday she'll be in Miami. I predict that one of those spots we'll find.
I'm Mike McBath here with Chris Hart. You know, every time I hear Hacksaw, he'd have been a great speaker. I mean, I'm serious. You think about the enthusiasm the guy has. How dramatic he acts. He's a true American. His father was a policeman and a chief of police. Is that not a guy?
Maybe he'll show up on stage in Cleveland.
I know. We got to tweet that across to Trump. Because
I can
he'd
see
be
him coming down the aisle through the crowd carrying that 2x4 and American flag.
And I guarantee the people will be screaming. And when I look at from UFC last night, he was good but not great. Hacksaw would be much better than that guy because I've seen Hacksaw perform enough, because he's such a high quality guy. And as we've talked about before, he's making a living now doing nightclub acts.
Yeah, but the guy with the UFC, he had the story.
He had a great story, and I agree with you.
Because of what his relationship was.
Trump helped him along, showed what a good friend he is. That's what so impresses me about Trump is all these people who have dealt with him. He goes back to him. How you doing? Can I help? I don't hear any of these stories about Hillary other than, hey, you haven't paid up. I got a gang coming after you. I don't hear any of that.
It wasn't as strong on emotion as the night before.
No, the night before was much more.
And especially when you got Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan giving speeches. I mean, it's just going to drain the emotion out of any doggone thing, right?
Not too stimulating.
But nonetheless, when you got to Tiffany, when you got to him, when you got to Don Jr. and some of the woman who spoke with the winery, and there was a couple of other ones.
Well, Chris.
I want to get to Chris Christie. It was a different thing with him, but I'm talking about these people really added the emotion of the night, and it was more subtle, but it was there. And it was the emotion that common people, I use that phrase loosely, regular people, I guess that's just a, anyway, you know what I'm talking
about. Hardworking people.
Us.
Would appreciate.
Us. Yep. Exactly. Because once again, this is the kind of guy I'd like to work for is what a lot of people are thinking for. Or this is the kind of guy I'd like to be if I were a boss. And this is what we need in America. We don't need politicians who know nothing about how to work with someone to get an actual project done. Actually get something built. Actually do something in this world. Create jobs that will be there for a long time, not just for 6 or 8 weeks during a contract period, right? I'm talking about real jobs, too, not government jobs. You see, this is what average Americans can relate to. And this is what I believe that the media, they understand this. This is why they're trying their hardest to detract from everything that is going on. Melania has become their target, but it is a bad target for them because people are looking past it.
But Don Trump Jr., were you not impressed with him?
I have to tell you,
his delivery, granted it's a speech, but, I mean, he looked like a seasoned politician who was ready to run for office. I mean, I wonder if he might even be better than Trump himself.
In
the sense of his communication skills with the public and his style.
I thought they were pretty good. I thought that he was amped up, though. It made him look a little bit nervous. But nonetheless, it was an excellent speech, and it came across good.
Sincere.
And it was a sincere message. And once again, you learn something about his father. And And I read a biography on Trump, and it sounds like Trump did sort of the same thing his father did. Mm-hmm. His father brought his children into the family business. This is the Trump way. And that way, you teach them good work skills. It bonds the family together even closer, mm-hmm. right? And it's just something that it's a prescription for what this nation needs. And just like Tiffany said, just like Don Jr. said, this is the guy that takes the projects that nobody else can do and gets them done. It reminds me of the Panama Canal. You know, back when America really was great, okay? Back in the day when nobody could tell us we couldn't do something for whatever reason, we just went out and did it. When the rest of the world couldn't build the Panama Canal, guess who did?
Well, I agree, and I like the fact he challenges the impossible.
He does.
And that's exactly what was put forth by Trump Jr. And
last
again,
night.
You talk about kids, no matter who their mothers were, they all had the same ingredient. You know, they were taught the right way, and success has always been with them.
Exactly right. And he's very close to his grandchildren, by the way, too. I've heard some pundits today wondering about, well, Don Jr. has 6 kids. I wonder how close he is to them. He's very close. As a matter of fact, when Trump is in the Oval Office, it will be reminiscent of the Kennedy White House because he's going to have young kids in the White House. I'm not talking about young kids like Obama's kids. I'm talking about children, little kids.
Young, well-mannered.
Yeah, and little kids that'll be able to run around because that's the way he does it now.
Right.
They're able to come into his office now and run around and play on the floor.
And you know what? It honestly does make you more human when you have children around.
Indeed. Indeed it does. It kind of helps put things in perspective mm-hmm. when you're making the big decisions mm-hmm. and you look down on the floor and there's a little child.
In all seriousness, it really does.
And you know that the decision you're making is going to affect mm-hmm. that little child's life and all other little children like that. Or
think,
a lot of them.
You think Hillary cares at all?
Hillary, oh my God. speaking of Hillary, during the break I got this, you know, we were talking about, you were talking about Melania selling her dress and we were speculating about selling that pantsuit, right, one of her pantsuits, and got this from Jerry of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz. Let me pull it up here. Thank you, Jerry. This was excellent. When Hillary sells her pantsuit, she could throw in the blue dress and fetch a higher price. Which blue dress might he be talking about?
Well, you think about that, because that was all over the media that she Melania sold her dress, right?
Yeah.
Now imagine, though, they are thinking, well, what if Hillary sells her? Would that be hilarious?
Oh, God.
Well, there's no bidders out there. What are we going to do? You know,
God.
Boy, that would be horrible. The sweat and
Easy does it there, partner. All right, let's go to the phone lines. John has been patiently waiting. Thank you for calling, John. We appreciate it.
I understand now why the Spanish have endorsed Hillary.
The Spanish Chamber of Commerce did that today. Yes, it was announced. Why?
All right. I called many years ago. I've had for umpteen years the same one doing my income tax.
Okay.
And I found out about 7 years ago that they used the wrong number, and I made quite a bit of money that year. And I got a notice from the IRS that they used the wrong number. So I called the accountant, and she said she'd take care of it, but then she got sick. And ultimately sold the business because she was sick. I didn't want to be bothering her. And she died. So it was never taken care of. So I had quite a bit of money coming. And then I looked over at my past years, and quite a few years over the past 20, this guy used my wrong number, but the same wrong number, to credit all of my income tax, I mean my Social Security, to the wrong number. So the other day I heard that they have lawyers that specialize in doing that.
I see.
So I called Morgan, and I knew they didn't do it because it's not big enough numbers for them. But call the Florida Bar Association, Central Florida. They answered this, not press one, press two, English was it. This call will be answered in Spanish. If you do not understand Spanish, leave your name. We'll get to you whenever we can. I'm a 95-year-old World War II vet. We fought against these lousy foreigners coming in here, getting preference from our taxes. And here it is, an example. I can't get service because I don't speak Spanish.
Well, it's welcome to...
That's what goes on here.
Yeah. I think you got to push one instead of two.
Somebody else she says they don't. That doesn't happen. I said, don't tell me it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I called it twice to be sure.
Yeah. I've heard what he's describing
right here.
I've heard that numerous times have happened to a large number of people.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're sort of catering their answering services to their largest part of their clientele, and they didn't expect a old World War II vet like you to call up, John, so you don't fit the profile, so to speak. But you're right, it's ridiculous, and you're right, and this is why Hillary gets the vote from a lot of Hispanics, a lot of blacks, because they're here looking for a handout. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And thanks for your service and everything that you sent to appreciate that. It's a shame, but we got a chance to do something about it this go round, right?
Well, you know what? You notice his title was Why Hispanics Are for Hillary. And I don't believe, again, you know, you see the polls and everything, but most Hispanics are really pretty hard workers. And I told you, as you recall back a few weeks ago, I'm driving over here to the station, and two Hispanics went by me who were lawn cutters. They saw Hillary for prison. They're all giving me the thumbs up. We hate Hillary. We hate Hillary. But the reality of it is anybody that's a hardworking person that has any knowledge of what's going on is not going to vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
They're just not going to vote for Hillary.
And, in fact, the most recent poll that was done by... Gosh, I don't have the number right in front of me, that showed Hispanics for Trump, he was actually getting slightly more than Romney and McCain got, which, considering all the predictions, is astounding, right?
One that amazes me, though, is the black polls, where they had won the day, and I mean, it was like close to zero for Trump.
Yeah.
And you would wonder if any group of people needed a Don Trump for leadership, you know, job employment, inspiration, it would be that group.
Yeah.
And I don't get it, but I do get it because, you know, the Democrats have ruled the group for, 40 years?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they had old...
not good.
They had old Don King on Lou Dobbs last night. That was
a... But he's a Trump fan, right?
He is.
Yeah, he's a Trump
very
fan.
Much so, very much. We got a special treat because we have the winner of our Pick the VP contest on the line with us now. Marilyn is with us. Marilyn, thanks for calling tonight. We appreciate you, and congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that it is. And, you know, you got in right under the wire there, just with minutes to spare.
How are you so astute, Marilyn, that you knew it was going to be Pence?
I was hoping, actually.
Yeah.
Plus, there was no one else left.
You guys certainly helped by saying no one had picked him yet, which I was surprised. So I called in and picked him.
And you won. And you're going to be having...
Pretty simple.
Yep. And you are going to be having dinner with us and B. Brian Blair. And we're going to be setting that up. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Is Marilyn's daughter coming? Or
It's up to her.
I have a twin sister.
Oh, she's coming.
Oh, is that right? Oh, okay. All right, so that'll be interesting. That'll
are you
be cool.
two going to be wearing pantsuits? Or?
please don't ask if you really want us to.
No, you don't. No, you don't. Have you eaten at Cafe Positano yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, do you like
it? That's a privilege.
Do you like Italian food?
Love it. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think you're going to like Cafe Positano. It is
really
the best
good.
Italian food. And B. Brian Blair, he's a hoot. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy yourselves.
I know we will. We all have like minds and are really concerned about the direction of this country. So
absolutely.
Just got to make it happen.
You got that right. You got that right. So, well, once again, congratulations.
Yep, congratulations.
And we look forward to meeting you.
Yes, same here. And thank you a million.
All right. Thank you,
Chris,
so much.
I got a feeling that a lot of these women who call in just aren't going to be meeting Hillary Friday. There's just something that's telling me they're not going to be in the parade. You know?
Yes, I just got this. Jenny sent us this. She says, pants suits at Goodwill are $6.99. And they'll probably mark Hillary's down.
Oh, yeah. I would think so. Ooh. After that, remember that book that was written here? He described the physical aspects.
How she would like to go days without bathing.
Oh, yeah. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some contests. You know, we just had a contest winner.
I know. We just had one winner. We got tomorrow another big winner. And they win the Positanos.
Yeah.
And
we got an eating contest.
Oh, and an eating contest coming up?
Yeah, we got a lot of good.
I'm fired up.
So don't go away, because we'll be right back.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way.
And now
it's back to the show.
I know, but we'll lose everybody listening real quickly.
All right, welcome back, the American Adversaries. We got some more contests coming up. First of all, we got tomorrow's contest. Of course, it's Thursday, so it'll be Thursday contest day. And once again, McBath has come up with a doozy. This is the name game contest.
Yeah, we're going to play. We all remember long ago that song, Bob, 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 Banana, Bama, Fofab. Well, we got our name game. And our name game is going to be six names of individuals. What we want you to do is call and give us the one word that you feel reflects to that individual, whatever the emotion brings to you.
Yeah, sort of spontaneous
thing.
Yeah, word association.
What comes to you? Like if you're in a room or somebody and they go, and this is a real one, Michelle Obama, what comes to you?
Well, one
what
word.
Comes to me is disbarred. All right? How about if they go, John Kerry, what comes to you? Treason. All right? I mean, everybody has their emotion.
Right, right.
How about the Brockster? Metrosexual. That's what comes to me. How about Hillary? What comes to you? Oh, I won't even say that one. I'll leave that for somebody tomorrow.
No profanity now. No profanity.
Al Sharpton, what comes to your mind?
Yep.
Race pimp. Oh, no, one word. That's a hyphenated race pimp. What do you think?
Yeah, hyphenated words will be okay.
So, the group we're going to give you is Michelle Obama, Barack Obama, Al Sharpton, John Kerry, Bill and Hillary. So just remember the two presidentials.
Yeah, the Obamas, the Clintons, and then Al Sharpton and John Kerry.
And if you can't remember that, just call. We'll give you a name right on the spot, and you give a reaction.
Right.
Because we're going to pick the best six reactions in one pile.
And profanity gets you disqualified and gets us kicked off the air. So don't do that.
We've had a few of them slip, but that's okay.
Yeah. And all right, so this is going to be, once again, the Obamas,
name game.
The Clintons, Al Sharpton, and John Kerry. What word comes to mind when you hear their name?
Okay, quickly, Chris. I'm going to just give you a tryout. Loretta Lynch. Give me a name.
Blimp.
Okay, there it is. That's all this is. That's all this is. What comes to your mind? Like Bill Clinton, right? Pervert. And always. But doesn't that really come to your mind when you think Bill Clinton?
I was thinking rape, yeah.
Okay. Jeez. All right.
Al Sharpton, perm.
Oh. Yeah, I always think of a flat top on his head. You know, his head looks like a cantaloupe. You know what I mean?
It is kind of peculiar.
Oh, boy, he's a gem.
All right, so that's tomorrow, and you'll be playing for a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positanos. Compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd. Great folks. And once again, if you got a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know, if you don't already, Jerry and Janice Shepherd. And if you already know them, you know what I'm talking about. They are great folks. They take great care of their clients and great care of their clients' cars. And they are experts. They are, know exactly what they're doing. Got a, the finest of shops, the finest of technicians. So, and by the way, not only do they do MBs, Mercedes-Benzes,
now
they
do big addition. I know.
Beamers. Mm-hmm. If you got a BMW, you can take it over there, and they will work on that baby for you, too. And they'll give you just the same treatment they give to their Mercedes customers. And if you're a Mercedes customer, though, don't worry, because Mercedes will always be their first and foremost.
And before you buy a car, right, they can do inspections and things like that,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You buy a secondhand Mercedes or BMW, I'd be running it over there and make sure everything checks out.
Absolutely. And if you're going to be taking your Mercedes on a trip, especially in the summertime when it's so hot, run it by there. They'll do a free safety inspection for you. Jerry's Mercedes-Benz, jerrysmb.com. And then Rick Brown is going to toss in a $10 gift certificate to Tijuana Flats.
That's exactly right.
And they got a great event coming up on August the 5th, the last blast of Summer Family Festival, the Winter Springs last blast of Summer Family Festival, and that's August the 5th. The festivities at Tijuana Flats start at 6 o'clock with a children's entertainment show. 7 o'clock, they'll have Wendy Benson playing and singing on, playing the guitar and singing, and it'll be a whole lot of fun, and you all are invited.
And that's out on the patio and the restaurant, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because the way they set up the last time for that event we held there, we had a packed house, and it was a lot of fun.
There was hundreds of people there.
The tacos were good, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on out. And then we got another eating contest lined up. We got a date set, so I want y'all to put it in your calendar. And this is going to be a special date.
Yeah.
It's going to be September the 7th. That's the Wednesday following Labor Day weekend. And for you folks who've been listening to the show for a long time, matter of fact, since day one.
I'd love to see them all out.
We started the show on Labor Day weekend. The actual date was September the 5th. In 2010, so we're going to be celebrating. It'll be like our six-year birthday. We're 6 years old. Wah, wah, wah.
And we're taking applications to eat in the contest.
We need some contestants.
Probably maximum 12.
Yep, we'll take 10 or 12, and you're going to be eating pasta again.
And you'll be enjoying it.
It's going to be a whole lot of fun. And we're looking to get our returning champion back, and we're going to get
prizes.
We got Pred Heads are going to be out there again. Oh, yeah, it's going to
be
a lot
colorful
of fun.
Night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to really do it up. 6 years been on the air. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road runner, honey.
Well, we're going to see tonight, is Ted Cruz going to endorse Donald Trump? Welcome to the show, folks, and welcome back to the show. In any case, we really want to thank you for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Now Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And once again, if you've tuned in to hear the Tampa Rays playing, they're either wrapping up or still playing. Up the dial at our sister station at 1520 WBZW, where they're playing while the convention is going on this week.
Who are they playing today?
Colorado.
I
think it was Colorado. Yeah, it was Colorado because they beat them 10-1 last night. They finally got a big victory. All right,
so we got a
big show lined up for you today. Thanks. Big show. We're already halfway through it.
Big show. Huge.
Right. We got a lot to talk about in the next hour, but of course you can join us at any moment simply by calling us at 407-774-8255. And we got our poll question up today, and Nick is going to give give us that question and an update. And don't forget, if you have not already, please download the free WORL AM/FM app into your smart mobile device. If you're having any trouble doing it, just give Nick LoCicero a call here on the call-in number, and he'll walk you through it.
By double S tech support, yes.
There you go. That's right.
Oh,
we couldn't do it without
Nick.
Him.
Yeah, I know. He's a Disney guy, a tech guy, all yeah, those things. He's a chef.
He helps you
that?
Out a lot, I know.
He does. He absolutely does. Yep.
So, you know, we also have an update, too. You said the Rays won 10-1 yesterday. They're winning 10-2 today in the eighth against the Rockies. So.
Wow. Remember, two local guys on the team.
Well, now, all they could do is play the Rockies the rest of the year. They'd be all right.
That's okay.
Unfortunately, they got to play Boston a lot more, so they are in big trouble.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. Well, the poll question on our mobile app today is rate the Republican convention, and we have three choices for you to choose from, and the one right in the middle, no one has chosen yet, middle of the road, so we have two extremes here, and let's see, 15% say the convention has been about as boring as Hillary's pantsuits, with 85% saying that is a great show so far.
All right.
See that?
There you go. So you got until the end of the day, the end of the show today, to get your opinion in with that poll question, and we'll give you the final tally before we go off the air. Thank you, Nick.
It is hard getting past Hillary selling her pantsuit. Like, she sold her dress. You know, everybody. Somebody said it went for like $6,500. I can't believe. I've been thinking of going for a lot more than that. Because remember, Hillary wore that bag about, what was it, 4 weeks ago? And she sold the bag for like, what was it, an auction? It was like,
she bought it.
Yeah, she paid $12,500. That's when she was talking about the other America, right? She wore a $12,500 dress.
Yeah, she bought it used from the Prime Minister of India.
She did?
That's what it looks like.
But the problem is, she's the only person who can take a $12,500 dress and make it worth about $100.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Ooh.
All right. 407-774-8255 is the phone number if you would like to be a part of tonight's show. And if you have any comments about the convention that's going on, please feel free to call in. Last night was not as emotionally packed as the first night, but I thought it was a good, solid night. And tonight promises to be an exciting night. We do have Ted Cruz going to speak. And also, of course, Mike Pence is going to accept the nomination for vice president. And so far, he has been sort of the loyal lieutenant, if you will, being very effusive of his praise for the Donald and very willing to be number two.
But doesn't he seem to you, and he does that way to me, he seems like a very measured individual, you know, in the sense that he just doesn't get totally fired up or anything. And I don't expect this. I expect to see a very sound speech, you know, I call, you know, with all the principles, et cetera. But I don't expect to see fire and brimstone in any respect, because I just don't think that's the character.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You're going to see more of the standard.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, more of the standard fare.
And that's fine.
It'll be good.
Right.
But it'll be
no problem, the
standard fare. He may surprise on the upside. We'll see. But, of course, tonight is to help set up tomorrow night. And the other big speaker tonight that everyone is looking forward to hearing is, of course, Eric Trump. And you know when you're hitting a raw nerve with the liberals when they just go bonkers over what you're doing. And they are going bonkers over the Trumps parading out all these members of the family, having significant family members speak each night of the convention. Of course, starting with Melania,
right.
Don Jr., and Tiffany, who both did magnificent jobs last night.
Right.
And tonight you'll have Eric. He promises to do a very good job. He's been, if you've seen him on TV, you know, with the talking heads, he does an excellent job representing the Trump brand. And then, of course, tomorrow night you will have Ivanka introducing her father. And I believe that's the way she's going to do it.
Yeah, that's what they say. And I bet you she does an outstanding job of that.
Yeah.
That's going to turn the liberals' heads.
Oh, yeah, they hate it.
They're going to just be so upset.
They hate it because these children are such a fine representation of the man himself. All right? And he has children with all three of his wives. He's been married, of course, three times. Tiffany was with Marla Maples. He has young Barron with Melania.
Right.
And he has Don Jr., Eric, and Ivanka with Ivana. And they're all magnificent children. And it's Barron promises to be as well.
Don't you think it's going to be difficult, though, for Eric to outdo Don Jr.? You know, I mean, I thought Don Jr. just did. You're right. He showed a little nervousness, but that's okay. Yeah, I mean, his message was clear. His delivery was very good. And he looked like a pro. He looked to me as good as any politician I've seen up on stage.
I think Eric will do every bit as good a job. It'll be a bit different style. I think I think has a little bit more of a
different
sense of humor than Don mm-hmm. Jr. So it might be a little bit lighter, if you will. But I think that it will be, nonetheless, once again, it's going to be an excellent testimony to their father. They all dearly love and respect their father. I mean, even Ronald Reagan didn't have that. Maureen couldn't stand him. I don't think she had anything to do with him when he was in the White House. Very little. Mm-hmm. And then you had, was it Ron Jr., who was sort of the jerk? He was the liberal.
Yeah, the one that, he was a California dreamer.
Yeah, exactly,
guy.
Right, yeah, exactly. So, you know, even Reagan didn't have the children.
Not the quality that we see exposed by these people.
And he raised them. Now you say, well, Reagan had to raise them in California. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But Don had to raise his in New York.
Yeah.
Right? The Big
Apple.
Yeah,
you're right. That's as much
Sky skyscrapers and everything, right? So there's a lot of temptations out there, right? And so this is a testimonial that the Democrats really fear. And once again, it is developing an emotional bond that is going to be far more difficult to break than some sort of intellectual commitment.
And just think about the family aspect of it. That must upset so many of these Democrats, you know, who
of
are
course.
So far off in so many ways.
And
this is true love of a family, and no matter what the case.
And who all have very, very dysfunctional families.
Now,
I know we all have our, you
nothing's
know.
Nothing's perfect.
But theirs is the liberals' families, and they're dysfunctional because they don't know, they don't really know family values. And so I think tonight is going to be exciting. Yesterday, Chris Christie brought the House down, kind of like Rudy Giuliani did the night before. And Chris Christie, you know, he went right down the list, guilty or not guilty.
But wasn't that effective? I mean,
it
I
was.
Thought that was. I mean, he certainly just took all the emotion out of the crowd, let them put their excitement forward. And I'll tell you, the style and the way he did it was, you couldn't have done it better. And it was also funny and enjoyable. And then I loved it when the people were yelling, lock her up. Oh, my. Could you imagine that? Put her away, you know?
Yes,
I should
sir.
Have been with my Hillary for prison stickers outside.
And here's another reason why the libs don't like what they are seeing at this convention, which is why I think it is being so very successful on probably more of a subliminal level than an overt one.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that and once again, and this is why I say politics like professional wrestling, if the Republicans just could come to understand this, then they could begin to outdo the Democrats, because the Democrats have an innate understanding. They may not say it that way, but they understand that politics works on a pretty much a raw gut level. And if you're all times up at the high intellectual level, you're going to lose. Because politics is played at a raw gut level. And this is what Trump has realized, you see. And he has taken a page from the Democrats. And what they did last night and the night before is they are crucifying Hillary Clinton. Now, they're going to do the same next week to Donald Trump. But that's nothing new for the Democrats, right?
Right.
What's new is that the Republicans are doing it to them.
And it looks
and they
like,
can't stand it.
And it looks like sour grapes in a sense that, you know, like, oh, they're going to get even. But, you know, everything that they'll try to get even with could never measure with what Hillary's done to the American people.
But there's
no measure there.
I understand. But the point I'm trying to make is that Trump has given them a taste of their own
doggone
medicine.
Is he a fighter?
They don't like it.
He's a fighter. That's what we miss from the Republican Congress. He's a tough guy.
Right. Yeah. It's like there was an old saying we had when we were kids, and that is they can dish it out, but they can't take it, can they?
Mm-hmm.
right? They dish it out all the time, all the criticisms. And now, you know, they, like, for instance, they're criticizing the fact that the Trump dared have Pat Smith speak the other night.
Oh,
that poor bereaved mother and exploited
her. Who made her a grieved mother?
Yeah.
How about that?
Right,
one?
Right. Well,
yeah.
Guess who they're going to be praying out all next week? They're going to be praying out victims' family members and victims' mamas, and they're going to be on stage crying because they're going to be trying to take the emotion away from Trump. The problem is he's trumping them, no pun intended. He is taking the emotional side of the argument, and he's spinning it right into his little campaign, and they can't stand it because that's what they always do, you see? And there's only so much emotion to go around. And if Trump's locking it in, they aren't going to get it. And then there's poor old Hillary having to defend herself and rehabilitate her reputation. And that can't be done emotionally.
Well, you know what? I think one of Hillary's saying is win if you can, lose if you must, but always, always cheat. So she'll be out there. You know?
Oh, there'll be that going on. But let me tell you something. They're up against a different dog in this fight. Because if you haven't figured it out by now, this dog is willing to give them what they give.
And,
all right?
And to see the way they did this convention, there's going to be obviously, you know, retribution on their side. But, you know, how boring is it going to be? Because it just looks like, oh, you're getting even. And I want to see the ratings. I got a feeling that the Republican ratings will be at least 33% higher than the Democratic.
Well, I don't know if it would be that much higher. But
we'll see.
I'm sure they'll be significantly higher. But the risk that the Democrats run is that they're going to parade out all these victims again, you see.
Bill? What victims are you talking about?
I'm talking about Black Lives Matter and things
they're
like that.
Victim.
Well, but they're going to. But that's the whole point.
That's what I'm saying. Is
and,
I'm
and
not
a
impressed.
Lot more people are beginning to see through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they will actually alienate people if they do that in their convention. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got more to talk about here tonight. Got some new poll numbers that have come out. And
how about John Kasich? I want to talk about him. He upsets me a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, he has been at the convention.
I know. He's circling it. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the old story is, John, you're now a team player. You only won one state. I mean, that's a guy that's on your football team that was 15,
yeah.
And then he believes he should be the captain.
Yeah.
Wrong, Don.
Yeah. Assuming Ted Cruz doesn't come out there tonight and commit mutiny, which I highly doubt that he does.
He's not stupid.
He is providing the example that Kasich, Bush...
should have followed.
Exactly. And we'll talk more about it on the other side.
Money, 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 money. Money.
All right. If you win the contest tomorrow night, you'll be in the money. You'll have... let's see, $30 worth of gift certificates to eat with, $20 at Cafe Positano, and $10 at, Tijuana Flats. All right, welcome back to the show. We now have JJ on the line. Let's go once again to JJ. Thank you for calling.
Hey, I forgot. I wanted to say two things. One is, Mike, I thought of you when I saw those people yelling, lock her up.
I know. Is that funny? Hillary for president 2016.
Yeah, right, exactly. I was like, oh, Mike McBath must be loving this.
But then you laugh at that. I mean, it was so funny. And then the people crossing their arms. Oh, was that hilarious?
One lady in particular that was particularly good that had a hat on, an older lady, but she looked like she just needed a pitchfork.
Can you imagine Hillary's images in her mind watching this convention and seeing the vitriol toward her?
She's seething.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yeah. She's seething, I'm sure.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But something I thought, and I haven't heard anybody else say this, but, you know, my nephew lives in Cleveland, and I called him on Sunday, and I was saying, I hope you don't have to be down there. And he was like, I have to be there Monday, but I should be out of there by 2. But he was saying how tense the city was. And, you know, of course, we had just heard about those officers being shot and killed. And I was thinking, you know, now we haven't heard anything else down there. And I thought, you know, Hillary, her I think her people probably told those people to back off, because it's going to, when they have their convention, you know, our people aren't going to be out there making fools of themselves like the Black Lives Matter group is. And I think they realize they don't want to be associated with that. So I think they probably had those people back off.
That's a possibility. I think, first of all, I went out on a limb last week, I think it was, I made a prediction that I think there'll actually be more unrest at the Democratic convention next week than there was at this one. And
really?
Yeah, I do, because it'll be easier for them to get into the convention hall. All right.
And more radical ideas associated with
exactly,
it, too.
Exactly. And you got a lot of hard feelings out there with the Bernie people. And, yeah, you had hard feelings with the Trump, with the Cruz people. And there was a little bit of a floor fight on Monday. But that was just a little scuffle. I mean, the Democrats could get ugly. We'll see. But in terms...
I thought Hillary was their darling, you know.
Oh no. That's the, of course, the image that the press is presenting. But there's a lot of disgruntled people in the Democratic Party now. In terms of the protesters, yeah, that was a point that I wanted to make. The biggest non-story so far this week is, where are the protesters? Now Abe Katzman, when he was on the show last night, he described that there is just massive presence, a massive police presence. And it's like overwhelming force. And anybody that starts protesting, they immediately surround them.
Did you see the police chief, though? He was actually in the crowd of protesters today, walking around, you know, talking with them, everything. He was a very sane guy. And it was, you know, I'm very impressed with what they've done up there. I mean, first-class job so far.
Up through about noon today, they had five arrests.
And that's nothing.
You would have thought they'd have had them by
noon on
Monday.
You'd have that in a normal day. I mean, in 2 days in the city, you'd have five arrests, right?
Right. So. These are five protest-related
really
arrests.
Really good job. Great job.
Yeah, it's... But you're right. There might have been something to that effect. But I kind of doubt it. I kind of think that... that it's more that there's just massive police presence. And like I said, and Abe said last night, Tampa was nothing like what it is over there. And believe me, in Tampa 4 years ago, it was like Baghdad. They had concrete barriers everywhere.
Yeah.
They had dump trucks blocking roads. I mean, there was no way you were going to get anywhere near that convention complex without being surrounded immediately by dogs and cops and who knows what else. And so
my concern, too, when they come out late at night, you know, the conventioners, but they must have done a great job in a sense of, I call it, not technically escorting them to their cars and everything,
there's plenty
but they've
of cops
done
around.
A great job. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, once you're inside the safe zone, if you want the green zone, as they called it in Baghdad, you're safe. Right. So going to your car is not going to be a problem. It's after you get outside the safe zone where... But nonetheless, even then, it's just massive police presence. They shipped in 5,500 police from all over the country to help in this. So,
Don't you think, though, that people would associate those people more with the Democratic Party if they had made a big thing for themselves here at something?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And it may yet happen. You know, we're not, it ain't over yet.
Yeah.
It ain't over till
tomorrow
it's over.
Night will be the culmination, we'll see.
Exactly. But the protesters are frustrated because they can't get anywhere near the action. So, it's possible. In politics, it's kind of like, you know, anything's possible. So you might very well be correct. So, all right, well, thanks.
Chris, don't you sometimes wonder, too, that the media doesn't really foam this thing up in a sense? They're walking all over, sort of, you know, that encourages actions that are not the norm, you know, and you see them walking down the street and they're walking up, putting the cameras into people's face. You know, they want action. And they're not getting it, which is great.
And because of the logistics, it's not as easy for them to do that than if they just to walk into any city where they don't have this massive presence of security. So it's a different animal. And so that's why I thought, you know, if it was anything like Tampa, the protests they're going to be way across town if they happen at all.
Yep.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Wait a minute, do we have time?
We don't. Tim there, yeah, but we'll get him after the break.
Yeah, we'll have to take the next couple of phone calls after the break because we are coming up on the half-hour break, which, as they say, is a hard break. We cannot move it.
Now, one thing, Chris, quickly is I have to tell you how I admire the city of Cleveland, though. Do you see the lake and how everything looks so cleaned up? I mean, I just remember it from years ago. This place really looks first class. I mean, they've done a great job up there, except for the weather.
Mm. All right. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. If you want to be a part of the show, the number, once again, is 407-774-8255. How would you rate the convention if you have downloaded the free app? We want to have your opinion before we get out of here tonight. And don't forget to catch us on our website. Our eyes, our cheeks, or whatever. All right. Welcome back to the show.
I think that's Melania. You can go with her. I'm going with Melania.
It's like I said last night.
For an older woman, Melania looks
Who would you rather listen to and be looking at for the next 4 or 8 years, Melania or Hillary?
I mean, it's as simple as that.
I mean, come on.
They had even put it on the ballot. You know, when you vote, like Trump's name, you have a picture of Melania, and then the other one, you have Hillary, and people just, you know, it's going to be a landslide.
I'm telling you, this is not complicated. This is not rocket science.
Real simple. You know, you'll have a lot of people cross the line if you got Melania.
I tell you what, I believe I'd have her everywhere Donald Trump goes, I'd have her close by. Yeah. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number, and we hope wherever you go that you keep us close by. We really do appreciate your
listenership.
We're doing pretty good. We're always looking for new recruits, though.
We talked to the generals a number of times, right?
Yeah.
George the General.
General Dan, So if you'd like to be a member of the Army, it's real easy to do. Just go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, and you can go to the recruiting office and sign up right there. Real easy to do. And we'd love to have you join the Army. And we're planning on some special events just for Army members only. So please join up.
Well, the Positano situation can be for Army people, right?
Yeah.
It's eating contest. They would get a priority seat at the table.
If they want to be.
They want to eat spaghetti because it's going to be a spaghetti eating contest.
Well, pasta eating contest, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up on September the 7th. Put that on your calendar. We're going to have a pasta eating challenge, Pasquale's Pasta Challenge at Cafe Positano. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're all invited. And September 7th, we're going to be celebrating our 6-year birthday. We were born as American Adversaries on September 5th, 2010.
That's a long time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
You haven't aged at all.
I wish that were the case, my friend.
On to the next subject. John Casey,
by the way, today is our 1,115th drive time show. And that doesn't
include
the 394, I think it is, 93 that we've done on Sunday nights,
which are 3 hours, right?
Yeah, so that's, let's see, that's, 293. Did I say three? I'm sorry, 293. Yeah, coming up on 300, and then plus this 1,115. Thank you.
Yeah, today is actually, 1117.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well.
Wow.
How about
Chris,
that?
Chris, you pushed out a lot of BS over all that time. I can tell you that.
Yeah, indeed I have.
Maybe I'm going to give you a paper bag for the anniversary or something, you know?
Bag it and sell it. All right. Ooh. All right, let's go back to the phone lines where Tim has been patiently waiting. Tim, thank you for calling.
Hello. Good evening. How's everybody?
All right,
how about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So I got this real big kick out of Chris Christie last night. I just thought that was just hilarious.
Lock her up. Lock her up.
It was really great. And boy, he did really eviscerate her, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just imagining me and Lair there 4 years ago, how we would have loved to have been there for that. We'd have been standing up chanting too, buddy.
Yeah.
Put her away.
You know, but of course the media hates it. That, oh, they've gone too far. The American public is not going to like this. Oh, no.
Listen, you cannot sell Planned Parenthood when you march your family out proud.
Yeah, you got that right.
Okay, and that's what drives them nuts, because all of a sudden people realize, you know, you can have kids. You know, it's not like the Democrats who say you got to kill your kids.
Yeah, well, there is that.
They actually have kids, and they can be very productive.
They can actually be assets to you,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's really different for them.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, they're not used to that at all.
No.
Hillary would probably get it. Look how much money Hillary got for her book that didn't even sell. And so she'd get enough for her dress.
Yeah, her book entitled Hard Choices, like she would ever know.
Oh, like she knows one, right?
Yeah.
Should be softball.
Her hard choice is powder blue or white pantsuit today, right?
Yeah. Or it takes a village, either one.
Yeah, that one too, yeah.
So either one of them made money.
And that's right. Yeah, actually, It Takes a Village actually did sell a few copies, though. Hard Choices didn't sell squat.
So, well, Chris,
how'd Granny Hawkins say in Outlaw Diddly Squat? She didn't sell Diddly
Hillary's
Squat.
Hillary's America comes out tomorrow.
Friday. It comes out Friday. Yeah, Hillary's coming to town in two ways on Friday. She's coming here in live, in person.
I bet you that's on at the Winter Park Theater.
And then the movie is coming also, Hillary's America, and How the Democrats Stole America, I think it is. Subtitle.
Maybe she's down here to maybe sign autographs in some of the theaters. I don't think so, right?
I doubt it, you know, and we were speculating before the top of the hour that she is going to announce her VP running mate Friday. It makes sense. She's wanting to steal the attention as soon as she can.
It's not going to work, though.
And I would do it. I mean, it's a political move. Carl texted me. He said he hears the same thing, that she will be announcing her VP on Friday.
Right.
And he also thinks that her suits look like Star Trek costumes. No, Carl. Star Trek costumes were a whole lot more, especially in the first series.
Yeah, a lot nicer figures inside them, Carl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Who was that one that played a Seven of Nine?
Oh, I know.
She is responsible for Barack Obama being president of the United States.
She is?
Yeah. He was running against her husband in an election. I believe it was for the state house or the Senate seat he had in Illinois.
All right.
And he was married to her. And they had one of them Hollywood type weddings or one of them Hollywood type marriages, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through a divorce and all the juicy details showed up in the press, got him defeated by Barack Obama. The rest is history. Good looking woman, but oh my God, did she bring hell to the United States? Anyway, thank you, Tim. Appreciate the call.
But you know, Chris, if she's going to announce the vice president here on Friday, that should be a big event. Why don't we know where it's going?
Well, don't know if she's going to announce it here or if she's going to announce it at the state fair in Tampa Friday evening. I would assume she'll do it wherever she can get
the
biggest splash.
Have you ever been at the state fair? Over in Tampa?
I have not.
No, in all seriousness.
I have not.
I've been there because they do horse shows there.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right. Dog show, horse show.
That's what I was going to say. If she's going to the state fair, I don't think so.
I would assume she's going to announce it as early as possible, so I would predict it will be here in Orlando Friday.
Yeah.
And who knows, it'll probably be at Pulse downtown or somewhere in
where
that
she can
proximity.
Get some emotion because she can't normally draw emotion.
Yeah. Now, if a Republican goes anywhere near that place, they're a pariah. But, of course, they're going to use it as a stage now. They're going to use it as a backdrop. Okay?
That could very well be. That's a good could happen.
Yeah. All right. So that we'll keep an eye on that, though, Friday. In the meantime, we have James on the line. James, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, thank you for talking. Or let me talk, Chris. Jerry Ryan that you were thinking about, J-E-R-I Ryan?
That's right. That's the fella. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And he was married to Seven of Nine.
Female.
Huh?
That was the female, not the fella.
Oh.
Jerry Ryan was the female.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. All I knew her by was Seven of Nine, and never mind.
Her name was Jerry Ryan.
I got you.
Anyway, one thing that came up is if Ivanka's going to introduce her father, and then Chelsea comes around and introduces her mother, is that going to be plagiarism?
Yeah, that's a cute way to put it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, really.
Aren't we worried about the question of plagiarism of a few platitudes in a speech anyway?
Because
the real question is whether these people will live up to their speeches, and Obama's just falls so short.
Oh, yeah, because
it's hard to believe that Barack's parents ever told him the path to success was hard work. his father certainly didn't work hard, and he was,
Well, he actually disappeared.
He was a vagabond.
Yeah, he was gone.
Yeah. And in his teens and early 20s, Brock admitted to using and selling illegal drugs.
Yeah.
And he never held a job before graduating from law school. And then he didn't want to work in do the hard work in a law firm. He wanted to go for community organizing and being an adjunct professor. And same way, Michelle never held a hard-working job. She traded upon her position and relationship to her politician husband
and her father. Her father actually helped her out too. Yeah.
But she was also disbarred, right, James?
She was. Yes, she was.
I know she lost her license. Was it technically disbarred or just lost her license? But I think there was a fraud issue in there.
She was not disbarred. She lost her license,
right.
And it had to do with how she was representing, I believe, a hospital company against an individual who had filed a claim because of malpractice or something like that. She was a hospital attorney.
So she defended
big old hospitals against little old people, right?
Yeah.
And then she's going to turn around and say that they're the champions of the little guy. See, this is what aggravates me about this, and I wish the Trump people would, and I sent something to the person I thought might could get it to them, attack! Say, look, they were the ones who were lying. They were the ones who were plagiarizing. You think for a minute they actually believed in this? They stole these concepts from us. We're simply taking them back. Right?
That's right. Yeah, I think his wife was getting $320,000+ for being a consultant to one of the hospitals there in Chicago.
Yeah, I think she was actually on the payroll. Yeah. But yeah, she was getting a six-figure income.
She was getting that as well.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're exactly right. But you know, isn't it ironic that the closest thing that Barack Obama had to a real job or a real career was selling drugs?
Oh, great.
No, I'm serious.
That's where he made most of his money, but probably not. He's made it in politics.
But I'm serious. Right. That's his only experience outside of government and being a rabble rouser, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he was a pharmaceutical salesman?
His tax policies have been a curse to everybody who's hardworking.
Yeah.
And, his extraction of wealth from those who do work is punishing.
Yeah. Well, that's because his career choice, selling drugs, he didn't have to worry about paying taxes or regulations or anything, right? So he never had to feel the pinch, so to speak.
That's true.
Yeah.
But he's still maintaining his $6,000 suit wardrobe, and he signed up for a $22,000 a month house, which he'll live in after he gets out of office. And it's hard to believe he's going to pay for that with hard work.
Not hard.
No, I don't think so.
He'll be capitalizing on being an influence peddler, depending upon his schmooze slime rather than elbow grease.
You got that right.
As far as your word is your bond, you'll do whatever you say you'll do? That's laughable. These people, that they could pay any credence to Michelle when she uttered that. Yeah, it was much more believable when she introduced Barack as her baby daddy. Barack has reduced the issue of trust to the level of a carnival barker. He'll say anything to get you in the door, because once in the door, he'll separate the root from their money.
You got that right.
We now know unequivocally that the phrase, you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, was a purposeful lie intended to get support for a dishonest socialist agenda.
You got that right.
And the phrase, it'll lower the cost of health care by $2,500 a year, I think Mike's made a few comments about that.
Hey, James, I know that issue. I can tell you from experience. But, I mean, also, I think this is going to bite them real hard as we get into late October, when these people around the country get their billing. They think this thing, I guess, passes, because there's so many issues out there. But wait till the real guy realizes, geez, I was paying $800, now it's $1,200. They're going to be hot. I don't think they're going to be able to walk away from this yet.
Yep.
So we'll see.
All right.
Okay, two more sentences and I'll be through.
All right.
The question's not a few platitudes in a speech. It should be, does the speaker mean it, and how will they govern?
Exactly.
And for the Obamas, we know that there were more words that just don't matter. Okay, thank you for that.
Good.
All right, I appreciate it. Excellent phone call, James. Thanks so much for being out there. We appreciate it. Yeah, I would be attacking on this and say, plagiarize. Okay, I plagiarize. So what? Look at what y'all do. you know, and turn it around. I mean, all right. We'll come back with more of the American adversaries and your phone call, too. And we'll have the final poll results, it looks like, because we're just about out of time. Don't forget the live convention coverage coming up next with Larry Elder. And the fun continues. And as we said, Cruz is speaking tonight. Eric Trump is speaking tonight. And, of course, the vice presidential nominee, Mike Pence, is speaking tonight. And we got a few more things to speak, so we'll take a break and come back and do just that. Welcome back to the show. Once again, we're wrapping up here for the night. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow, but you got Larry Elder coming up next. He does a great show. I love listening to Larry Elder. But, of course, tomorrow is Thursday. That means it is Contest Thursday around these parts. And McBath has come up with another doozy out of that demented mind of his.
Chris, I think this is very appropriate for many of our demented listeners. Okay, we're going to do the word game. Bob, 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 Banana, Bama, Bob, Bob. Now, it's going to be very simple, and I think they'll be able to remember all this is, we have Michelle Obama, we have Barack Obama, we have Hillary, we have Bill, and then we have our other two friends, John Kerry and Al Sharpton. And all we want to know is what word comes to your mind when we mention that name.
Right.
And if you have trouble remembering all six names, just call in. We'll give you the name and just give us your immediate reaction.
Yeah.
Because we got to be able to identify how to react when we hear this at a party. So, example. Michelle Obama.
Giraffe. you're going to do it. I thought you were going to get me.
Wait a second. Michelle Obama. Okay. John Kerry.
John, horse.
What do you say? I'll go bicycle. Okay. Barack Obama.
Cool. K-O-O-L.
I'm going metrosexual. Okay. This one, I'll bet you everybody has this thought, even though they might not express it. Bill Clinton.
Rape.
Pervert. Okay.
Close enough.
That's close, yeah. Now, here's a good one.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton.
Perm.
Perm?
Yeah.
Okay, and I have pimp. All right. Well, yeah.
Close.
But I think this would be a fun name game.
Now, you didn't say Hillary.
And, Hillary.
Pear.
That's, I do think of that, actually.
Remember when we had the
fruit
one?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Just can't get that out of my mind.
This will really be fun. I can't wait till they just, but just one word, describe these six individuals.
Right.
And then we'll look at all six and come up with a winner.
And
this is going to be fun.
You can use the same words as someone else, just not
for the same person.
You got to mix them up.
Because you may have a better description.
Right, yeah. So
Well, here's just a practice one. Yeah. Loretta Lynch.
Blimp.
Oh, that's so cruel.
Okay. Pillsbury Doughboy.
Here's one. Michael Moore.
Slob.
No, I think of him, and then I think of John Kasich. Eating.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine those two eating dinner together?
Boy. Ooh. How about Kasich? I mean, he's at the convention center itself. He's there to pal around and probably shopping around for some interviews or something like that. But he won't get up on stage. At least just to welcome the people to his state.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to mention Trump by name, but oh no, he's pouting around. He's all petulant and PO'd. And well, so what? He's a runt. And he's proven himself to be a runt. See, people like him, Jeb Bush, I dare say even W and others, are proving themselves, at least in this sense, this situation, to be runts.
And the other thing, Chris, in their own way, no one really misses John. It's not like the convention's going, John, John, John. Hey, the guy's not here. Oh, well.
Yeah. I'd rather
Life
hear the people
Same
speaking
here.
That
so,
they've had speaking.
He forgets it's a team sport, right? Isn't politics a team sport?
Exactly.
Except he has I in, instead of a
Case,
team.
Yeah,
you know?
Kasich. Yeah, yeah, icky Kasich.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's hanging out at the convention center, but he won't have anything to do with speaking to the crowd. Well, so what?
But can you imagine this? He only won one state. How do you justify that you're such a big deal?
Look, what we're witnessing is...
I don't get it.
I think Eva called up a while back and said basically this. We're witnessing a weeding out process.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is weeding them out for us. He's weeding out the wheat from the chaff, if you will, the people who are valuable from the worthless. Mm-hmm. All right, and we're finding out that old Jeb Bush and John Kasich are worthless. We're finding out that valuable people are Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson.
No, we got fighters.
Newt Gingrich. They're willing to get in there and mix it up. They're willing to fight. And when they see somebody who's willing to get in there and fight with them, they're not going to grouse around about how they cut their hair.
Yeah.
Right? All right. Or how they talk. They're just going to say, welcome to the fight. I'm glad to have you because we need you bad. And when a guy like Trump comes along and brings the amount of enthusiasm and people that he has brought to this process not to welcome him, when all along you say you want to party with a big tent, all right, well, here you got it.
What an opportunity this man missed to have this convention in his state, in Cleveland. And not, you know, he hangs around the perimeters like I'm an outsider. Yeah. John, I think you're going to have trouble winning your position next time, buddy.
All right. Well, listen, we've just got a couple of minutes left. I want to find out what our final poll result was tonight. Nick, can you lay it on us, please?
All right. Yeah. People seem to like what's going on at the convention. We asked people to rate the Republican convention so far, and middle of the road got about 10% of the vote. So right there. So about 10% of the people who responded there. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's
right. We got 70% saying it's about as boring as Hillary's pantsuits. And then 70% saying great show so far. So there you go.
70% great show.
There you go.
How about the pantsuits? 7%?
17%, was it?
You
sound like the Alaska group.
I know. I'm so sorry. So 70% great show, 20% boring as Hillary's pantsuits, and 10% middle of the road. There we go.
All right. That sounds more like that. All right.
That's up to 100. There you go. My math was off.
All right. Great. Next. Great job. Thanks. All right. And then tomorrow we'll slap another one up on there for you. Mm. And once again, we'll be back tomorrow. You got Larry Elder coming up next. Don't forget contest tonight.
Well,
tomorrow
we got some
night.
Good ones. We got our eating contest.
Coming up on September 7th. Yeah, and don't forget
tomorrow.
August 5th. You got the Winter Springs last blast of Summer Family Festival at the Tijuana
Tacos.
Flats there. That's right. Be great fun at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs at the intersection of 434 and Tuscaloosa Boulevard. All right, we'll be back with you again tomorrow night, and it'll be, of course, the final night of the convention, and we'll have a pre-convention show. We'll have a convention review of tonight. I look forward to hearing Eric speak tonight. I look forward to hearing Ted Cruz speak tonight, and I look forward to hearing Mike Pence speak tonight.
Quickie,
three heavy hitters.
I say Cruz cooperates. What do you say?
I think he'll do a good job tonight. I don't know if he'll be
good
a rah-rah.
Good job isn't quite cooperating, but you're getting close.
Yeah, I think he'll give a good, solid, strong speech, and I think he's going to do himself a tremendous amount of good in the process. Well, get on board with the Trump train.
I'm actually going to go watch it.
Absolutely. That's where we're headed to right now. Don't forget Larry Elder coming up next. We'll be back here tomorrow night. Thank you so very much for listening. Night, everybody.